You're listening to What's Happening, Extended Edition. I'm Aaron. We heard two songs for Rosemarie. Also, Cassidy by the Grateful Dead. And we've got another one coming up by The Who in honor of our great friend, Brian Young's brother, Mike Young, who passed away this past week. And if you listen in next week to Crash Course for the Ravers, he will have a great tribute in honor of his brother. Also, Moody Blues, I'm Just a Singer in a Rock and Roll Band. They lost Roy Thomas this week. And we also lost Jerry Van Dyke, the younger brother of the great Jerry Van Dyke. Let's go out with You Better You Bet by The Who, in honor of Michael Young.
You better. Ninja, and scream, "You better!"
You're listening to What's Happening, WMFO Medford. I am Mike. This is What's Happening. We're here every Friday, every Sunday from 5 to 6 o'clock. And we have Dead Trains in the studio. My co-host is
Aaron.
I am Mike.
Matt.
Steve.
Natan.
Welcome.
Thanks for having us here.
To What's Happening. And we'll have the gentleman on in a moment. First, Mike, I know there's an open mic every Sunday.
Yes. Excuse me, my volume's very loud here. Yes, it's at Tavern at the End of the World in Charlestown, right on the Somerville Line, about 500 feet straight across from Sullivan Station on the Orange Line. Natalie Flanagan, who is a great performer, runs it. And I suggest you go down there. Great people, great food, great intimate venue every Sunday, unless it's a Patriots game. So check it out. Go on their website. Tell Natalie hi from Mike and Aaron.
And we're going to go right into Dalton and the Sheriffs. Enjoy.
Had to park on Bay State Road, 'cause Fenway's all aglow. A book night after lands down the street, guitar in hand and summer heat. The faithful in their red and blue, a crowd outside the house of blues. I dodge a vendor's hawkers, gawkers, stalkers in my way, breaking strings on cheap guitars. Close my Salmon brought his heart to play. The doorman lands a smile away. One and two and three and four. Heads perk up, up goes the door. Breaking strings on cheap guitars. Close my eyes. That alley beyond that velvet cage, onto that hill we will make, with our stringing, ringing, singing ways. Breaking strings on cheap guitars.
we're giving social media a makeover.
How many tries does it take to get the perfect photo?
The average girl spends 3 hours a day using social media.
48% of teens report feeling lonely and less confident in themselves after using social media.
After the iPhone release in 2007, the depression rate in teens spiked.
To learn how to make social media a more positive place, go to MediaGirls.org. Follow Media Girls on Instagram and use the hashtag MGMakeover.
Yes, you're listening to What's Happening. We're here every Sunday from 5 to 6 o'clock. Currently, we have Dead Trains in the room, and we will be talking to them in a moment. They have a CD out, and the CD is... What is the name of the CD?
Big Fun.
I am Mike, we have Aaron, and we have DJ G, who's in the production studio going over some stuff right now. Okay.
So, again, introduce yourselves. There are only three members in the band?
Yep, just the three of us.
Just three of us.
Yeah. Trio.
Yep. So, start off over here.
My name's Eitan, and Matt and I have known each other since forever. We've been doing this kind of blues rock thing forever.
High school.
Stay close.
High school, in fact. Yes, Eitan. It's a pleasure to meet all of you.
And I'm Steve, again.
Yeah, I'm Matt. Yeah, I play guitar, sing. Steve plays drums. Eitan plays bass.
So,
that's the band.
Tell us a little bit about, growing up, what you listened to, who your influences were. What made you want to be part of a band?
We have very different influences. Some things in common. Kind of eclectic. Natan and I played blues music together in high school, which is some years ago now. More than we like to admit.
Not as much as the rest of us in this room.
Right, fair enough, yeah. I think we started this band, a few years ago. Had a different drummer, and at first we were just playing blues stuff, and then we started writing some original songs, which sort of came from a weird mixture of Delta blues, like Bucca White and Sun House and Mississippi Fred McDowell and stuff like that, sort of merged with, Big Black and Jesus Lizard. And that was cool. And then we got Steve on drums, and things got even cooler. And we've just been recording and playing shows, and it's been good.
So, you listened to blues growing up in the house, or
that's mainly my background. Eitan, I don't know. You come from a background of jazz and all sorts of things.
I grew up playing like jazz saxophone and just a lot of like punk rock, hardcore punk rock, and I mean, my first show was like the Boston, so also ska. But I remember the best part was I was at work and Steve came up to me, listening to Creedence Clearwater, where I was. He's like, "Hey, this is awesome. I hear you guys need a drummer." He's like, "Yes, we do," and he was perfect. It was absolutely perfect.
See, and I was basically raised on CCR, the Stones, the Beatles. My dad, from a very early age, just always had record players in the living room, and just broken cymbals on the wall, just that whole thing. And my grandfather was a very talented jazz musician, so that brought a whole other aspect into it. And so once I heard him listening to CCR, I was like, we should probably be friends. you don't run across those guys too often. So
do you each just play those individual instruments? You play multiple instruments? And like I said, who got you really interested in your music? I mean, it may be in the house, but is there somebody or something that just said, hey, I've got to play music. This is what I want to do for my life.
I'm a black sheep. Nobody in my family plays music at all. I think I got a Walkman. My first instrument actually was sheets of 8 by 8.5 by 11. Is that what it is? Standard printed paper.
Absolutely.
I drew with a Sharpie like keys on it and played that as a little kid. And in my head, I heard the sounds, and my parents were like, "Oh, maybe we should get this kid like a real keyboard." So that's how I started playing. But yeah, I had a Walkman with the Beatles and Brian Adams.
And you had a virtual keyboard.
A virtual keyboard, yeah.
Before virtual keyboards actually
before
existed.
They, yeah,
the future was terrifying, right?
It was a special young boy. But yeah, I don't know. That's is how I got into it.
I met Matt, like, honestly, we were kind of like 16 years old in high school, and at the time I was playing jazz, but also, like, I was kind of like a jam band kid. I was really into, like, Fish and the Grateful Dead and whatnot.
Natan and Steve, really, they like jam bands.
The two of us...
I hate jam bands.
Yeah, Fish is the best band in the world.
when we're in the car, like, when we tour, we just wind up listening to podcasts because we can't agree on anything to listen to.
Literally nothing, but we listen to these terrible murder podcasts because there's nothing we can do.
Just listen to commercials for Ben and Jerry's, because that way each one of you can have your own flavor.
Matt does love ice cream. Yeah. But once Matt falls asleep, once it's like me, one of our turn to drive and Matt's asleep in the backseat, that's when we can put on some live Fish. You know?
He'll wake up terrified, like, what are you guys doing?
Turn this off right now. It's garbage. Yeah.
It's, the best part of this band, honestly, is that the three of us come from such disparate... We share these same tastes, but it's really cool that we've all explored many different styles of music, performance wise and all, just like in terms of our taste, and it's awesome. It brings when we get together, it's literally just us spending time together, and like, I hate to say the word, but like vibing, you know. I know it's horrible,
no,
but like,
fair.
When we get together, it feels really good, and we just like, it just comes out of us as a trio, as friends, as musicians, and just this thing comes out and it becomes Dead Trance.
We are all multi-instrumentalists, though. I mean, I played drums, guitar, keyboard. Natan plays bass, guitar, saxophone.
I program electronic music.
Programs electronic music. Steve, you played drums, guitar.
I play guitar bass. In a metal band.
Guitar in a metal band, player. Yeah.
But yeah, not to say that it's effortless, because I mean, the amount of hours and just overall effort we put into this band is amazing and just ridiculous. But sometimes when you just, you know, like, he'll just play a riff and then all of a sudden 25 minutes has passed and we've just been playing, and just kind of comes out, not effortlessly, but it just kind of puts itself together.
I think there was a band in the 60s from Liverpool who did something like that.
They had a great drummer, right?
The Monkees.
Yeah, we started touring in underground German clubs and, you know, really refined our craft doing covers.
in Cambridge, yeah.
Cambridge, Germany, yeah.
You know, I bought at a pawn shop in Cambridge, in Davis Square, right here. A vinyl record of them, like, live in Hamburg. It was one of their first live shows.
That's awesome.
I think. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, they were quite a band, and
cover band mainly, that I think, at that point.
Well, that was the interesting part, because I was watching something about that recently. They had a great YouTube video about behind the scenes, talking about how they did different things, and, you know, how, you know, Paul and John got together and started writing, and you know, and each one of the members got their time to sing and put their influences in. I mean, you know, George Harrison bringing the sitar in, which was just out of the blue.
Yeah,
you know?
Mind-blowing.
And so being multi-talented as far as your influences and music and the instruments. Why Dead Train?
The name?
Yes.
Dead Train is an old blues term for a train that's
out of service,
disabled, not running anymore.
Like the T.
Yeah,
the Green Line.
So when you Google Dead Trains, you either find pictures of us or just old rusty trains. So, you know.
Or Charlie on the MTA, right? Yeah.
I just heard it.
I've been looking for Charlie.
In some lyrics,
I don't like his work.
It sounded cool, so we made it a band name.
And I play
blues all the time over at WMWM. I mean, I'm one of the three DJs who does blues over there too. So, and so, besides yourselves and what you listened to growing up, who do you listen to today?
You want to start, Matt?
That's a tough question, because the three of us are also so disparate in our tastes.
Well, they may throw something at you, you know, and say, hey, this is something similar, or hey, this is a great style. Let's not emulate it. Let's make it our own.
Yeah, you know, I've got to be honest. I don't listen to a ton of new music. I don't know. I don't listen to a ton of new music. I'm kind of a jerk when it comes to music. I listen to a lot of old stuff. There's some new music that I like.
But then it's new. But when you listen to it, each time it's new to you because you hear something different.
Yeah, exactly. And it's Yeah.
So it's
the
so
definition.
You're not, so you're not what you said you thought you were. You're reinventing yourself every time you do it.
Yeah, the definition of a classic, right? It's news that stays news.
And I find myself guilty of the same thing. I've been listening to the same bands since I was like 14 and younger that I still love just as much, if not more. And I've really fallen off the wagon of trying to discover new music out there. It usually just like kind of falls in your lap. But there's this one band that sticks out of Nashville that's called All Them Witches. And they just do super heavy, like blues-driven kind of doomy rock kind of stuff that I just think is really, really awesome. And it doesn't sound like anything else that's coming out.
There's a contemporary band I like, and Don introduced me to, called Mets. They're cool.
I was going
to
say Mets. Canadian, I think. On point.
Right?
Vancouver, yeah. I think a lot of, like, cool. What I love about, like, what I listen to when we go to practice, it's not so much the actual music of us, but how they approach playing music. I listen to, like, a lot of electronic music. And when the three of us get together, it's improvisatory to a certain extent, but it's just the three of us, like, again, it's the word vibing together, and it's really... So a lot of what I listen to is just electronic music, which is just built on just like you have a theme. So Matt will come to practice with a particular theme, and then Steve and I will join in on that theme, and then that's where the song comes from. Like, we've been working together to write these songs recently, like more collaboratively, and that's how it works. Matt will have this idea, and we join in, and it's cool. It's super organic, and it just happens where we just, like, you spend like 35 minutes like. Hanging out, jamming, quote unquote.
But God,
yeah. And he'll just record it on his phone.
I know,
like a voice recorder. He hates that word.
He records everything that was perfect, though, because like Matt's got a record of everything we've done, so we can always go back and listen to it. Like,
but see, blues and jazz, which you have the influences together, are all improvisational anyway, because every time you play it, it's different. No matter what exactly. You put down on the paper, it's not going to be the same because you're going to feel something else. So.
And especially the deeper you get into like the session of improvising, the more you're creating something that never would have existed if you didn't, you know, persevere through that first like 10 minutes, 12 minutes of just jamming. You know, you get to this point that is just deeply individual and just never would have existed if you didn't, you know, it's like also, I said, just push through.
The best part of being on this band is like today we were playing, like sometimes we're just on, like we just... Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, we get there and we are completely in sync. It's good.
We're always on.
Well, talk like that. You know, but occasionally like, we'll go to practice and it's perfect. And it's like, man, this is...
And it's really odd because usually we practice 2 or 3 times a week. And, you know, when we get to the strict schedule and we just see each other every single day, we actually tend to
play
not
worse.
Fall apart, but play worse. But then we don't see each other for, you know, 2 weeks. And then we just come back and it's just so good.
It's like playing golf. Sometimes when you don't play for 2 months, like, weirdly, you're better than anything.
It's almost like the motivation of wanting to get, say, behind the drum set or
it's like the,
your shoulder.
It's like the buildup of adrenaline. Mm-hmm. And then
exactly.
There's something like catharsis to it, where we get together and it's like, yes, we can express this thing only between the three of us, and we have to be there together. And it's
so catharsis. How is it with your live performances if it's that great together?
I personally think, there's an energy that's just like, unmatched, and to the point where that's how we recorded this record and the last one too. It's we're all in the same room together, all playing live, because I just don't feel you can match that raw energy individually tracking instruments in different rooms at different times. It's just being cohesive and rolling into the mess ups. Like maybe, I don't know, you wouldn't mean to hit, say, the snare drum when you did, but you did it, and you just keep going, and you keep it, and then you look at it later, like, actually, yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Performance is its own monster as well, where it's like, it's a team effort, and it's, I don't know, it's nice being able to, like, be as a unit in front of people and just, like, here we are, we're gonna do this, and, like, we played in Fitchburg recently, it was one of the best shows ever, because it just... We just felt it. It felt really good, and it came out really well.
Should we go to Big Fun?
It's a good song.
Cool. Big Fun by Dead Trains, right?
Yeah. Heathers.
Enjoy.
Hey!
Welcome back to What's Happening. I'm Aaron.
Matt.
I'm Steve.
Natan.
We're Dead Trains.
And that was Big Fun off of the album.
Yeah.
Bread Big Fun.
Oh, yeah.
Title track.
Absolutely. So what were your influences for having Big Fun?
Well, the name comes from the movie Heathers with Christian Slater and Winona Ryder. Maybe you've seen it. Martha Dump Truck, a character in the movie. So he's wearing a shirt with, I think it's a fictional band name.
Yeah, I think so.
It's Big Fun. That's not what inspired the song. Or, I don't know. Where did this song come from? I don't know. I don't know where it came from, but I don't know. Same thing that inspired
like the sentiment like, of that movie. Is
it seemed like you guys were having big fun when you put this song together.
Always, yeah.
It's just a contradictory title as well, because, you know, you hear big fun, you're like, well, I'm having a good time, enjoying myself, and basically all we sing about is usually just kind of being down and out and screwed over and, you know, just being a rock bottom of life. That's kind of
But you know what?
Thing.
It's the only way to get out of it.
That's true.
Is to talk about it or sing about it.
Yeah.
Because you can't get there from here until you take that first step. So get the negativity out and have fun getting
it's a good it's like, therapeutic. It's a good place for
like
it.
We revel in the negativity. I mean, so there's no history of like good, happy music. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah.
So, also like driving
we're not writing love songs, yeah.
Driving well, the 90s or, with all this.
Well, to Dead Trains. You know, maybe. Yeah.
There's no history of happy love in the Western canon.
Also like grew up in the 90s, all this like lost music that I used to really it was so into. It was all kind of depressing, but at the time I was like, yes. It's very much like the anthems for my generation. I realized like, oh wait, this is all pretty depressing.
Does that transfer into the artwork that's on here?
You're trying to make amazing.
That's actually all Matt handles all the artwork for that.
Yeah. Yeah, this cover is a section of a painting by Bruegel called The Bee Thieves.
Yeah.
The Bee Stealers. Which I sort of tweaked. And then there's some other stuff. On the back I think there's a circle of sort of glass beakers that are full of different colored liquids which are actually urine. There was a belief in the Middle Ages, probably through the Renaissance, that you could diagnose certain diseases by looking at the color of the urine. I don't know, it looked cool, so I put it on there.
And the irony of the skeleton keys.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, nice. I'm glad you picked up on that. Absolutely. Yeah.
And also the walking skeleton.
Blues walking like a man.
Yeah.
That's the catchphrase. It's funny you say that. It's like tapping into that is also the way out of it. It's sort of the idea behind this skeleton fellow with the keys in the dirty urine with a hand with... No, I'm serious. With the keys.
With the keys.
It's getting into the nasty stuff is the key to getting out of it also.
It's the key to the solution and the fun. And let's see. The alchemy
of it all. Yeah, I think we found our most astute interpreter of our band.
It's great. Might
be the best.
Let's see, Brownsville, Tennessee.
Yeah.
What about Brownsville, Tennessee, that made you want to? Considering we just destroyed them yesterday, the New York Patriots.
That's it.
Two touchdowns, way to go, guys.
I was gonna say, I've actually never even been to that town.
Have we not driven through it?
I feel like, was that based on, because our first tour was down through the south. It was in July or whatever.
Both, right? Or all three of them. Mm-hmm.
It was super warm. I fell in love with the south immediately. And I don't know, like, we went to like the crossroads. I think we went to both the crossroads, trying to figure out exactly where those crossroads were.
Yeah, I think the crossroads everywhere. Anyway.
Well, I remember driving down and... down to Florida and you hit the Mason-Dixon line and then all you see is just this little thing across the bridge. It's like, okay, this is the Mason-Dixon line. This is what they were all talking about. This is what it's all about. You know, that's why there was a great band called Mason Dixon and the Line. Yeah. I mean, it was better than the bridge sign, you know? Should we listen to Brownsville?
Sure.
Yeah, let's do it.
Cool. And that is track 3.
That's it.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to What's Happening. We are at 91.5 FM, WMFO in Medford, and web streaming at WMFO.org. I am Mike. We have Dead Trains in the studio.
I'm Aaron.
I'm Matt.
I'm Steve.
I'm Natan.
Dead Trains.
Music keeps getting better.
I hope so.
So we try.
We think so.
That's definitely one of my favorite songs to play.
Yeah, it's fun.
And what's your other albums called?
Our first album, which was with our first drummer, who was not Steve, is Break 'Em On Down. Second album, which I think I played drums on.
That played like basically
was 3220, and then our third album, when Steve had joined the band, it was called County Road Bound, and now this new one is called Big Fun, and I think our plan is to we're writing new material as always, and our plan is to record that maybe another five songs and put that out as an EP individually, but also then to combine it with these five songs and press that on 12-inch and combine the two.
So where everybody find Dead Train?
We got we're on Instagram, dead_trains. We're on Facebook. We got our Bandcamp, deadtrains.bandcamp.com. We're also on Spotify, Google Play, all that good stuff streaming.
Matt's phone number is 978.
We got one music video up on YouTube, and we're actually going to finish up editing one more tomorrow for Shake 'Em On Down.
Song off this.
Yeah, track two.
This CD. Umar does great work. He did our first menu as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And where can we get the CDs?
At our live shows.
We'll throw them up on the Bandcamp pretty soon.
Also, through our Bandcamp page where you can get these CDs. We have 12 inches of our last record, T-shirts, tapes.
If you're local, we're playing Charlie's Kitchen in Hubbard Square on the 22nd. It's going to be awesome.
With our friend Baby Lawns and Husbands, I believe.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
Dan Croswell will book the whole thing. It's going
to
be great.
Grab a burger, listen to some tunes. Successful Monday night.
What's our next show?
That's it.
Well, no, I mean, I know that's our next show, but after that.
After that, we're playing a basement show in Alston the first Saturday in February. Yeah. And 2 days before that, which is February 2nd, we're playing at the Shaskeen Pub in Manchester, New Hampshire. Nice. So if you're around any of those areas, come out, hang out, come say hi. Tell us your thoughts, whether that's awful or great. Let us know.
So, since you each come from different worlds, so to speak, advice from each one of you to future musicians, future band members, people who, and also, how do you each write and then bring it together?
Want to start that, Matt?
Yeah, sure. I feel like the main thing is just to have, I don't know, to write what feels good and is good, whatever that is, and to have some sort of creative vision, something that you do that is what you do that maybe not everybody does. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd say my advice is just to keep at it, keep playing. There's going to be a lot of bad shows. You're playing to two people and a lot of late nights. And
also, don't play something that sounds exactly like what everybody else in your neighborhood plays and is cool at the moment, because screw that. I feel like there are a lot of bands that are just facsimiles of other bands because it's sort of what's hip in a particular place at a particular time, and I don't know, maybe that's a good way to get ahead sometimes, but
yeah, it definitely forces you out of your comfort zone. You do something that's hopefully new.
I think it's important. I think the three of us share this, where we don't play music because we want to. It's because we have to, and it's something where I can never not do this. And to make sure that you've got like a couple people that you can share this thing with and create these things with, and just feel good about it. Like today, we go there. You stop thinking and you just play, and it's exactly what you want to be doing with your life. It's perfect. And just to be able to find that, it's very, that's what you have to do.
We're lucky.
As you progress forward, do you see yourself really challenging yourself with maybe adding a different format of music to, you know, to ramp it up or go in a different direction?
Well, one thing that we have tossed back and forth the idea around is almost a Led Zeppelin style thing where we do our normal Dead Trains, like fast-paced slide guitar, blues, punk, but then also Matt is an incredible, obviously an incredible songwriter, but he has these acoustic songs as well that he does solo, or if, say, like Natan brings a string on stage, he'll kind of start doing that. So to basically to make it be in a, have a series of movements in this record, so you're not just like fast-paced the entire time, you know, you can kind of take a step back and enjoy it a little bit. I think that's kind of what
I'm
talking about.
I think that, yeah, we... For the I mentioned before that we've got some new songs in the works, and we're gonna record, I don't know, maybe another five, and maybe combine it with this and put it on 12-inch. But yeah, there are a couple of sort of acoustic things. I've got a couple things too that are actually sort of piano based. Thinking about incorporating organ, actually electric organ, into a couple. Yeah, I don't, stuff we couldn't do live, which maybe in the past would have been like a red flag, but you know, again, it's what sounds good, so why not?
I think it's what's important, like the three of us all pursue other side things musically, and like, so we bring that all to the table, so there's a lot there to like dip into, and it's just really, I mean, really, we could do basically anything, we just need to.
And you know, your respective, like your editing of like when somebody brings something into the band, it's not totally pushed off the table.
Well, Matt, you just yells, no, no.
Joking. Get out of this.
Are there weapons involved? A cutter tree? I don't even want to know.
We've got an axe at our practice space right
now.
We do. An axe and a sledgehammer.
Yeah.
Well, just to keep it I certainly hope so. I mean, you know. That's the best type of axe, and, you know.
And another
thing. You listen to Sledgehammer, huh? Well, that's, you know, wow.
It's a great song.
Another thing that I'm really, really excited about that we've been bringing into the Dead Trains repertoire is improvising, and we've been talking about doing it live, and usually, like we mentioned before, that's just kind of how we write songs, but we've been setting aside like certain sections of songs. We're like, you know what, we got some extra time, let's just, what's the rush of ending this part, let's just see how far it goes, and then we'll just kind of go off into this tangent, and before you know it, Matt and I lock eyes, and then we lock eyes, and then we just go into the next part. And that's one of the things I'm really most excited to bring into the live show, is just something that, not that we're playing the same thing note for note every night, you know, we have room for expression and, you know, whatever you're feeling in the moment, but to have actual improvised parts that, you know, it may last 30 seconds, it may last 2 minutes and 30 seconds, just some little things like that I just love.
You just go back to the, you know, a couple bands had rock operas, so you guys will just have the Dead Trains improv sound opera.
Oh, yeah. That'd be great. That'd be great.
Be Matt, great name for an album. You
know? That'll be our that'll be our Mona Lisa.
Yeah. Why not?
Well, it's good. Always good having new bands in here, and you know, fresh views and stuff. And you know, I as an older musician myself, and been through the ringer a little bit, I wonder how you guys view the music scene in Boston. You know, from a different perspective than I view it. I just wonder how you see it. I know the landscape has changed, but maybe you see these opportunities where I don't.
Well, I mean, I guess, honestly, I feel we don't usually fit in that well with a lot of the bands. So, you know, we weren't being asked to play shows, and I just kind of got fed up with it. And I said, you know what, like, I'm just gonna start booking shows. Mm. So we basically took it into our own hands, and we basically play where we want to play because we make it happen, and then we try to find good bands or our friends' bands and throw them on the bill. And I think because of that, because of our general almost discomfort in our hometown, it made being on the road that much better. But it is nice now that we're kind of finally starting to see our own, not our own scene, but kind of trying to, we may have a sense of belonging almost, which is nice.
That's great.
So you said tomorrow you guys are putting down the, finalizing the video.
Oh, yep. Should be hopefully the last editing session with our friend Umar Miranda, who is just probably the nicest person on the planet.
Ooh,
and Umar, love you, man. Love you. See you tomorrow. And then our friend Brandon, who drums for a local band called Rebuilder, who are amazing. He helped us as well. He's also played our boss in the music video, and he goes off. We're not great workers, so he goes off on a tangent, which is a really good way to start the video.
Why don't we
shake him on down?
Shake him on down.
Shake him on down. My favorite part of the day.
Yeah.
WMFO in Medford. You're listening to What's Happening on WMFO in Medford. DJD says to make sure he says hi to the North Shore crew and Lucy. He's in the production studio working with Bob. I am Mike.
I'm Aaron.
We have Dead Trains in the studio. In the audience.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, this is what happens. You get old. Don't get old. There's no future in it.
Yes, but see, as you get old, your Dead Train improves.
There you go.
A swifter train.
So, as we get to the top of the hour, you probably want to tell people again where they can contact you, what your gigs are coming up, merchandise, websites, etc., etc.
We're playing on Monday the 22nd at Charlie's Kitchen in Harvard Square. And then after that, we'll be playing in Manchester at the Chaskeen Pub on February 2nd. And we'll be playing a super secret basement show in Alston on February 4th. And you can find our music on Spotify. We're up on Bandcamp. Basically all the normal routes. You'll find us. Google. Internet's a wonderful thing. Very
YouTube,
powerful.
We had a video.
YouTubes, yep. All the great stuff.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you very, very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
We hope that
thank you so much.
We get you some more airplay on WMFO and WMWM.
Yeah.
And people will be hopefully contacting you for gigs and updates and all kinds of things.
Yeah, just send us an email, thedeadtrains@gmail.com. We'll play wherever you want us to. Just reach out.
Where?
The Dead Trains do go.
They do. Choo-choo, indeed.
And you said you're playing where?
Charlie's Kitchen on the 22nd.
That's in Harvard Square.
Harvard Square.
And it's Charlie's Kitchen?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. It's the best Monday night that's ever
Burgers,
been.
Beers, tunes, everything Dead you
trains.
Need. Dead Trains.
So, you found Charlie on the MTA. He got off just to start.
It's come full circle.
We thought we'd never get there.
Dead Trains, more reliable than the MBTA.
And better music.
Oh, yeah.
And the eclectic fun will continue.
Yeah.
That is true.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Thank you so much.